Cape Talk. Inspiration Wednesday.
I know I'm not the only one getting goosebumps hearing that song again, and it's just a fortnight or so from today that the biggest movie release of the year so far is going to hit our screens, the new live-action adaptation of The Lion King. It opens in cinemas on Friday the 19th of July, 25 years after the original animated musical delighted fans around the world. Now, the content of the new movie has been closely guarded. Fans have been drip-fed a couple of glimpses through the trailers and, of course, some hints about the soundtrack, which has given us a bit of an indication of what to expect. We know that the cast includes the voices of Donald Glover as Simba, of Beyonce Knowles Carter as Nala, James Earl Jones as Mufasa, Chiwetel Ejiofor as Scar, an illustrious cast including our own John Carney, John Oliver's there, so is Alfred Woodard, Seth Rogen, and a long, long list of others. We also know there is going to be a dynamite soundtrack on the way. I think it might be released online next week already, and then in stores from the release date of the movie. And the man who's on the phone with me now has played more than a small part in bringing it all together. It is my great pleasure to welcome to the show the man whose voice you heard at the start of that original film and whose musical stamp is all over its soundtrack and the subsequent stage adaptations. World-renowned composer, producer and performer Lebo M, welcome to Cape Talk. So lovely to have you with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. This is a story that has been such an integral part of your life and career for 25 years or more now. Can we perhaps start by reflecting a bit on the impact that The Lion King has had on your personal career?
Whoa, how many hours you have? How many days? Well, thank you. It's been quite a journey, quite humbling. A huge year for us, 25 years since the first Lion King. And on my birthday, July 11th at 10:55, and the entire soundtrack of The Lion King will be released worldwide, The Lion King live action. So I'm pretty humbled.
It is particularly humbling for you, I know, because there was a time when you were literally living a penniless exile in Los Angeles, looking at the Capitol Music Building, dreaming of one day being in there rubbing shoulders with the big wigs, but with no idea how that dream was going to come true. How did it happen that you were chosen to work on the original Lion King film?
Well, my relationship with Hans starts with a soundtrack called The Power of One, which I teamed up with Hans on. We set the tone for what we didn't know was coming, a project called The Lion King. Then after I did Power of One with Hans, I went on and did a couple of other movies. Of course, that time was an exciting time in my life, in my home country, South Africa. The changes from the old to the new were happening. So I was between two countries, two cities, and I had come to South Africa. Started coming home since leaving at age 16 to go to exile. Mm-hmm. And I got a call to go to Los Angeles. There's a new project, I think it was called King of the Jungle, that my friend Hans had wanted me to do a demo with and see what we're going to do. So I went to Los Angeles, did the first 2 minutes of what is now known as the Nansengonyama, mm-hmm. and came back home and disappeared into the beautiful new beginning of South Africa. It turns out the work I did turned the entire thing into a new film and, of course, new work for me, so I was called back in to work on the entire soundtrack.
Did you have an inkling? I mean, obviously, you get that call back to say, we love it, we want to do more with it, we're going to turn it into a full-length movie, please come back and work on it. Did you have any inkling as you were working on it in those early days of just how big that movie was going to be and what a massive influence it was going to have on your life?
Honestly, not only me, I doubt, and it's not documented, that anybody, including Disney, knew ultimately the impact this project would have around the world. But obviously, the closer we got to locking the movie, it did propose that it's going to have something special, but what it became was a huge surprise to everyone.
It became simply one of the biggest animated films of all time, with a soundtrack that just won worldwide acclaim. Before we talk about the new version, let's talk about what it was like working on that original version. The songs are legendary. We can still sing them to this day, 25 years later. We've sung them to our children, those of us who watched it in our own youth. What was it like being part of the collaborative effort the first time round, and to find yourself working on a film with the likes of Hans Zimmer and with Elton John playing a huge role in it as well?
Honestly, initially it was work. When I went back to start working the movie, it was work that followed the tradition of how I'd set up working with Hans. But it immediately became clear as I started now working as I was hired as vocal arranger and choral director. But it became clear the more we worked on the movie that it'll follow the tradition of Power of One, that my work as an arranger ended up being the spiritual base under which the rest of the movie was now evolving. And the South Africanness that we brought into the project as a composer and a musician started leading the tone and the spirit of the movie. So to that effect, as I did with Power of One, it became clear I recorded hundreds and hundreds of voices in America. Then it became clear that I needed to come with Hans and the team, and we redid the entire choral work in South Africa. And that part was very exciting and still is the highlight of my work on this project some 25 years ago. Hmm. And, of course, since then, the work that we did has become known as the Spirit of the Lion King, that then translated itself even better on the Broadway production evolved.
Well, that was going to be my next question, is what it was like to take that movie and then adapt it for the stage. I mean, it's been seen by close to 100 million people worldwide. You've had the opportunity to stage it here in South Africa. How different is the experience bringing it to the stage? Is it more special to you because you get to have a more hands-on role?
Well, it's more special because after the movie was released 25 years ago and the soundtrack came, a follow-up album called Rhythm of the Pridelands was produced, mm-hmm. featuring Level M and other works that were not in the movie, including a song called He Lives in You. And when Julie Taymor was approached to put together the Lion King Broadway production, she was also given the album Rhythm of the Pridelands. And again, now recorded, that became her inspiration for her to decide to do the Broadway production. And the advantage for that for us as South Africans, as creative people, is that Julie's vision was the music that was in the background in the movie becomes now center stage. As a result, I ended up writing more music for the Broadway production. And every production from day one had to have South Africans in it. Almost 25 years later, every Lion King around the world, we've hired more South Africans unknown to be a central part of the cast and ensemble. And with the new music that I'd written, the rest is history, as they say. Mm.
What about the staging here in South Africa itself? That must have been particularly special and symbolic for you.
Yeah, very much so, because I was a pain in Disney offices. From the first time we opened on Broadway, I kept saying, we have to take this to South Africa. And everybody had really brilliant explanations why I couldn't come to South Africa from a business point of view. It took me about 6.5 years to broker a transaction. Literally 2 years before opening, Disney started listening to me. And I teamed up with Peter Turin at the end of closing the deal. And the rest is history. We opened in Monte Cassino. We brokered for a new theater to be built. Monte Cassino was going to build a gym, and I started brokering Monte Cassino to build a theater that I'll open with the Lion King. And thankfully, we ran for 49 weeks and broke all records and put together the first production fully South African in the 10th anniversary of the 10th year of the Lion King, which would have been the first time South Africans played other principal roles other than cast and ensemble. So we're very grateful and humbled by the fact that in a short space of time, we produced a very special Lion King production in South Africa that then went on to open new roles for the rest of the other productions around the world where South Africans could now play characters like Mufasa, Nala, even hyenas, because we proved to Disney and to the world that South Africans can deliver the Lion King as a full ensemble.
Have we ever had a South African Simba outside of South Africa?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, the first South African to play Simba is a young man named Brian McEwan. He played Simba in London. But that's after I produced the Lion King South Africa.
Okay.
And it was clear that we could handle it.
Now let's talk about the new film. Lebo, so much excitement for this. Ella's just WhatsApped me saying this live-action remake is more nostalgic for the parents than for the kids today. She says, I cried when Mufasa died and I will probably cry again. I would say I will definitely cry again, Ella. It's a given.
We cry all the time.
What's it been like going there again 25 years later with new computer technology at your disposal to do something different with the film? How has it felt?
First of all, one approached it like, okay, here's another job. I'm familiar with it. Been doing it on Broadway, around the world, in London. The London production turns 20 years this year. So my approach about a year and a half ago was, let's go. And after the first director meeting in Los Angeles with John Favreau, it became clear I love the fact that the envelope is going to be stretched and the approach to the music is going to be stretched. And now working on a project meant a whole different approach, new energy, and thankfully I believe we've over-delivered and complimented the original movie. It gives extensive respect to the original movie, and the script is pretty much a slight expansion. And I'm just grateful that we're able to go into other territories with the music.
Now, I know you're limited in what you can tell us because nobody wants to spoil the surprise for the fans. You've given us a hint there, an extensive respect to the original movie, but with more. We do know that the more includes a new song that you've collaborated on with Beyoncé. Tell us about that process.
Ma'am.
What was it like?
It's called Track 14. Well, you know, I was really surprised myself, to be honest, because I feel the movie got locked about, 3-4 weeks ago, and we've been nonstop going back and forth, and I've been working on three songs, actually. There's a new song by Elton John that I'm pretty much heavily involved in, and there's a special song that I'm very particularly excited about, a new version of Mbube, dedicated to the original composer, Solomon Linda, which I'm performing and arranged, and is produced by Pharrell. And even more special for me, that most people in the world don't know until now, this is the first time I talk about this movie today. Mm-hmm. My song called He Lives in You, that's now a classic on Broadway, is now a special song in the movie. And redid the entire song is sung in Xhosa. So I'm very excited about that and look forward to that.
So
and, of course, the song I worked on with Beyoncé.
What was it like to work with her? Somebody's asking on the WhatsApp line whether her work ethic is as strong as everyone says it is. She's known to be quite the perfectionist. What was the collaborative process like?
Well, fortunately, the world of technology, I never even worked with Elton in the same room. 99.9% of the time, I work with Hans, and we work via satellite. So I'll be in a studio in London, in Paris, or here, and that's how we work. So the track I worked on, it was already written. So I come in at the end, and South Africanized the whole thing, basically, and ended up being co-writer and co-performer on it. So technically, in reality, I've not worked with Beyoncé in the same studio. We work via satellite with the producers, orchestrators, and blah, blah, blah.
Amazing. Okay, a question from a worried fan on our WhatsApp line. Can Seth Rogen really sing? I'm worried about what's going to happen to Hakuna Matata. You've obviously, I assume, seen the full end result and heard the soundtrack. Can you reassure that listener?
I have a brilliant answer for that. July 19th.
You're going to have to wait until July 19th to find out for yourself. Okay. Perhaps you can answer Carrie, who wants to know if you have a personal favorite song from the original movie.
Oh, that's a tough one. My personal favorite song from the original movie is and will always be Circle of Life, Nansengonyama. Oh. For many reasons, obviously. It has become the iconic identity of the Lion King. And anything beyond that, I'm a huge fan of all the songs, the score that I worked on with Hans. But I'm very selfish, being South African, that the movie starts with our work and its identity and the DNA of the Lion King soundtrack. And 25 years later, something even more special, July 19th, will be experienced.
Okay. The movie premiere, I'm not sure where it's happening, the official premiere. Are you going to be part of that? Have you been invited to attend?
That'll be in Los Angeles, yes.
You have been invited. So where is it happening? In Los Angeles?
In Los Angeles, yes.
Okay. How excited are you to be there on the night and see the first fan responses to the film?
Well, excited, and yet there's that anxiety because it's work, you know. Like everyone else involved in the movie, you have this great excitement that is done. Then you have this great anxiety that this is not just any other movie. This is a follow-up to a very iconic, historic blockbuster that has gone on to make history on Broadway. So my reaction is that of being part of the creative team. And not being a fan of the movie, which I also am, that part is exciting. I'm like everyone else. I look forward to sitting down and experience the movie like the average person.
Well, we're all looking forward to doing that as well. Lebo M, I want to thank you so much for your time this afternoon for chatting to us. The final question is, what's next for you? Now that the movie is in the bag and ready to hit the big screen, what are you working on next?
We're working on my next album, which is now follows the tradition of Rhythm of the Prylings that came after the movie. We're working on another movie, and hopefully we'll announce my first international concert in South Africa in the next couple of weeks.
That's very exciting news indeed. You know where we are. Please let us know. We can tell everybody when and where that's going to happen. Lebo M, great to have you with us on the show today, and our very best wishes to you, special wishes for the 55th birthday as the soundtrack hits the shelves on the 11th of July. Thanks for being with us today.